Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editors meeting.
It's been 3 weeks since the last podcast. For reasons that couldn't be helped, we've had to skip a few weeks, but we're back. Even though we haven't got Gareth on this week, it's still going to be loud and there'll be lots of talking. We've got Matt back. Hello, Matt.
Hello, I'm back for episode
55.
What do you mean, your one?
And or mine, fifth.
It's not Matt's 55th episode, it's his fifth or fourth episode. How are you feeling to be back?
Good, excited.
Excited.
Always.
I'm glad. We have to have some really insightful, sensible conversations to make up for the lack of...
We might struggle with that.
I write notes when I know Matt's coming. Just in case.
There's always an added pressure when Matt's here because I kind of have to be a bit good. And I think it's only this lady's second ever podcast, and the last one she did was in 2022. So she's back.
We've been trying to get her back for ages.
And I think we've built it up loads now. It's Adele. Hello. Not the singer. Yeah. Oh, is that what you tried to do? Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off there. Do you want to do it again? Hello, it's me.
Hello.
How are you feeling to be back? And why has it taken so long for you to come back?
I don't think podcasting is my forte, so I think it's an unwritten rule that I just wasn't invited back.
We wrote it down.
That was James then not inviting you back, or
it was a mutual decision.
Okay, well, you're back now, and back. This could be a turning point for you.
Was it a conscious uncoupling with you and James?
I think it was.
No, I think this could be a turning point for you. You could absolutely love it. Your story could be amazing.
That's true.
You never know how it's going to turn out. And we have James.
Hello.
Underwhelming.
Oh, okay,
how are you doing, James?
I'm not so good now, but yeah.
I feel like I always upset you like 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, you do. And then I've always got my back up. Now I'm defensive the whole podcast.
Don't be defensive. Okay. Get your back down. What's been going on? Have you been excited to bring some stories
Dead excited. I've thought of very little else.
I can imagine.
So getting into it, I suppose two people who can't seem to leave the news or any social feeds at the moment, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, they've kind of added to their beef this week. Elon Musk is no stranger to controversy, pissed off pretty much all of Twitter by imposing read limits on Twitter, which essentially limits you to a certain amount of tweets you can read per day, and then it cuts you off and people are very unhappy. And it's a bit of a two-parter because now, in one of the weeks when people are probably least happy with Twitter, Meta / Zuckerberg have now launched, as of literally about 3 hours ago,
this morning,
so this is an ever-evolving beast. They've launched Threads, which is Meta's rival to Twitter.
The timing of this is crazy. Do you think it was on purpose?
Well, it had been kind of spoken about in like hushed tones, but not really hushed tones for a while.
That Meta leaked as well, didn't it?
He leaked it himself. I saw him talk about it on the Lex Fridman podcast, basically saying that they're going to do an alternative. But yeah, the timing is interesting. Mm. And I can't tell if they're just trying to sort of turn themselves into characters, because obviously there's been all the stuff that happened the last few weeks with them supposedly going to have a cage fight,
yeah.
And that's where you keep seeing these weird like crossovers that you never expected to see of Elon Musk training with George St. Pierre, who's like a UFC champion. And Elon Musk just doesn't look great, but apparently he's a martial artist. So this just seems like the kind of latest episode in that, except whereas that was quite trivial, this is, I guess, somewhat serious.
It is. Matt, what do you think? Are you a Twitter user?
Yeah.
And this limit, it's obviously going to impact your experience using the app.
Well, I don't know whether they've ever got that far down.
That's what I was thinking. How many is...
No, I think that's like a solid hour of scrolling, which is fairly normal, no?
No. Who's got an hour?
I really have to. Give me some more work, guys.
Yeah, shouldn't you be doing some work? I have seen quite a lot of people complaining about the limit, going, oh, like you said, that's just an hour scrolling stuff. But I also understand why he's done it. Like, he's doing it to stop the AI scraping.
That's the thing. He kind of said, like, as a joke, that he's doing it to get people to go outside and get off their phones.
Yeah,
it's not. It's to stop the AI scraping, as you said. But it was interesting. For someone who's a bit of a freedom absolutist in the way that he is, this seems slightly authoritarian, I suppose. Yeah. At least he's imposing limits and rules on people, so it's kind of
freedom absolutist, unless it's in my backyard.
Well, exactly. That's why when you see him go on Joe Rogan's podcast and bang on about the importance of free speech, that obviously curries favour with a certain group of people. Mm. But then with this, I don't know, he seems to have slightly irritated them this time.
I think it's just another way that Elon Musk plays the media and the cult of personality, and he's got the highs and the lows and all the rest of it. stays in the press. I don't know whether the sort of scroll count has necessarily affected it. Everyone just moans about Twitter now anyway.
That's what I'm thinking. That just seems to be that seems to be the standard thing now. What's more interesting is whether this new Threads app can get any traction, because obviously there's been other alternatives to Twitter, but like not really, like not viable ones, like Truth Social, Mastodon, and there's some new one that Jack Dorsey's working on. But you'd imagine one backed by Meta, who have kind of proven track record of, well, of knowing their onions, so to speak, that you could imagine that actually getting off the ground. That's already in like the first 4 hours, I think it's already got like 5 million users or something.
Which I expected that.
I don't know. I think like all the evidence points towards more niche and more specialist and more micro communities, right? Discord doing its thing with different chat rooms and all that kind of stuff. I don't know whether there will ever be another big mass platform. Do you know what I mean? You've got to go a long way to get up to the scale and scope that Facebook once had, Instagram has, Twitter has.
Does TikTok not have that now? That was a fairly recent...
And that's very visual, obviously. Sort of entertainment-based. The algorithm rewards different things, whereas Twitter seems a little bit more kind of discursive, points of view, copy-based still. You know? So like, will anything ever beat that? Will anything ever replace that? I don't know. Not when you see everyone going off into my gaming Discord or my Midjourney Discord or whatever it is, you know, so I don't know.
I don't know, we overestimate how many people are involved and interested in these sort of micro communities and will go off to Discord and Reddit.
I think it's more the point that you can be on all of them, but you can find more satisfaction on some of them.
Sure, right. Okay.
So Twitter for me is a newsfeed. That's all it is. I don't really post on it. I don't really get into any social discourse or anything like that. Whereas Discord, slightly different.
But would you be interested in a friendly alternative to Twitter? Which seems like a very obvious sort of targeting of all the bad press that Twitter have had recently around hate speech and all that sort of...
Also, the fact it's called Threads, I was going to talk about the name. What do you think of the name, Adele? Because obviously, do you use Twitter?
I used to, not anymore.
When I think of Threads, I automatically think of Twitter, because obviously there's Twitter Threads, and then you're finding yourself in all sorts of threads. So what do you think of the name?
Threads, for me, makes it seem like it's a conversation platform. Not like a Twitter's like you post something and maybe no one says anything, but whereas Threads feels like it's a conversation. A conversation that's going to go on.
I don't know if that's true on Twitter. You post that. I think that's just if no one's interested in what you're saying, then no one says anything.
Is that what you saw tweeting?
Yeah.
I quite like the idea of Threads. I probably want to get it because it's linked to your Instagram. I stopped using
Twitter.
That's
what makes it
difference. I just stopped using it a couple of years ago because I was like, I just don't find any use. I love Instagram too much. So this is almost like perfect for me because you can have almost both in the app that you prefer or that you like, and it syncs with all your followers and stuff, which I find interesting because a lot of the time people make like friends and there's like communities on Twitter that you then have to go on a separate platform and find them on Instagram, whereas this, it's all synced up. So
that is good because I use Instagram quite a lot. I like to see that. But anyway, back to the fight.
You want to talk about the fight?
Importantly.
I think it should be like a royal...
I've got an analogy about Ron DeSantis here. We don't need to go on, let's go for the fight. I'm way more interested
royal
in that.
Rumble, got an idea. So those two go into it, but it's more like a kind of a 1990s WWE where you send like, I don't know, half a dozen in all at the same time. No tag teams, it's just...
A ladder match or something, so they've got a client to get the money in the bank.
So throw in Adam Newman from WeWork or whatever he's doing now, his latest thing. Throw in Travis Kalanick from Uber.
I'd like to see Sam Altman in there as well, because Elon's got beef with him. He's the OpenAI guy. Yeah! he's on all the steroids as well. I like this idea actually, because if it's more WWE, they can all get on steroids as well, which would be way more entertaining. Whereas if it's in the UFC, they'd have to get tested and stuff.
Who was the one that had that kind of blood test tech that never existed?
That lady, what was her name? Amanda... No.
Throw her in.
And then right at the end, I'd love to see the fella from MySpace come in and steal it all away. What was his name? Dan or something?
The studio Zach, brimming with great ideas as per.
We'd do this better.
Okay, well, James, anything else you want to tell us about Threads versus Twitter versus...
No, I'm all right. I'll say one more thing. I think Meta are quite good at copying other people, because they did that with Reels. They literally just ripped off TikTok and it worked quite well. And I was thinking with this, like, Twitter have had kind of no competition for quite a while. And I thought, like, in the same way with your streaming services, you just had Netflix for ages, and it turned out Disney had been behind the scenes developing Disney Plus for a decade. I wonder if this could kind of be similar, that... Because Twitter maybe haven't been forced to innovate that much because they've had no competition. Maybe Meta have had a chance to learn from all of their shortcomings and whatever, and it's going to be a million times better.
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll find out.
It also adds another layer. Sorry to carry on. It adds another layer to Instagram's offering, though. So it's like a two-pronged thing, isn't it? They're competing against Twitter, as like another Twitter, and well, then also
they're now video images and text
taken over.
Yeah,
none of them are as good as Weibo.
What's
China.
That?
It's the Chinese platform that's got everything in it. It's got shopping in it. It's got all kinds of stuff.
Interesting.
Way more connected than all of these. They're all.
Is it run by the government?
Yeah, Instagram has shopping.
I know, but it's not seamless.
Yeah.
It's more kind of ad-based. Then you click through, then, you know, all the rest of it. So I think that's what Elon Musk said that was his target when he first bought Twitter, is this thing doesn't have as much functionality as it's capable of.
Or if anything, but he's stunted that, if anything, hasn't he, by adding all these different limits and charging people.
Yeah, but
and...
it's all part of his master plan, yeah. I'm sure, like evil genius, proper James evil Bond genius. Villain type yeah. mental person.
Continuing with the tech theme, we've got any other tech beef?
Oh, you drum rolled it. This one,
I did.
Got more tech beef. So Google have been Apple bashing this week. Basically, they released a series of ads comparing Google Pixel 7 Pro to the iPhone 14, basically anthropomorphizing both phones and showing in meticulous detail how much better the Google phone is. Do you want to watch one quick?
Yeah.
I'm just going to watch the first one because it's there.
Just stop. Astrophotography mode. Call assist. 30x zoom. You can do so many things I may never be able to. No, don't say that. It's true.
That's
right,
good.
We get the idea. There's loads of different versions of that.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah. We all have iPhones, right?
I have an iPhone. And what, two iPhones.
That, does that ever make you think, oh, actually, my phone's a bit old and shit and it hasn't developed much since I last got one?
Nope. But this is the funny thing is, it creates a bit of a kind of a paradox because I watched all the adverts and I'm perfectly willing to believe everything that they're saying. But it doesn't make me even one tiny iota more likely to relinquish my iPhone and get a Google phone.
I agree.
Which just shows what kind of stranglehold Apple have got you
in. Like, this isn't going to work. Like, I'm also aware that there's probably phones that are way better that can do more and that they just are, like, you know, better cameras and things like that. But I still won't change.
It's because it's linked to everything, isn't it? Like, you have your laptop, you have your phone.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone's got an iPhone, like FaceTime, it's just easier.
It is.
It's the Nissan hatchback of phones. It's the most unsexy phone. It hasn't got the right brand image.
Which one is?
The Google.
That's the thing. Have we spoken about this before? Apple have always invested in design and brand. That has to be a guarantee, and then everything else has to come on top of it. Like, similar with the laptops. You'll meet some proper fucking PC gaming nerd who'll say, well, they talk about all the functionality. And you think, oh, I don't care. It looks weird and chunky. I don't like it.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual advert, it was created by Google's in-house creative labs. Did you like it?
I loved it. I think it's great. I think it's such a... It makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, as you say, it's not going to change my opinion, but it's a clever app.
It's quite funny.
Yeah, it's
funny. I liked that type of humour.
I stopped listening after about 10 seconds.
Did you? Is it too long?
Yeah, it's just like, did it get me to it quicker?
Okay.
I did. It's funny, I did think, when I watched it on my own, I quite liked it. When I had to hold it, I thought, I wish this would hurry up.
Wait. It's get back down the gym then.
Kind of, yeah. No, I still like it. I like the idea of it of being kind of a bit cheeky, a bit snarky, a bit irreverent, while also essentially giving what are product details and pointing out the little flaws of iPhones that we probably do recognise.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if you've had one for more than 6 months, then you're running off like 80% battery and it depletes all the time.
Isn't it the Mac versus PC ads, though, just rehashed from whatever it was 10 years ago?
I haven't seen those.
I haven't seen those either. I'm showing your age, man.
Of course you have. The guys out of Peep Show did a Mac versus PC.
Did they?
I've not seen that.
Have you seen that?
Oh my God.
The guys out of Peep Show as in the people in it or the writers?
No, the people in it. Didn't they also write it?
No.
I'll find it for you later. You lot are younging me off. It's like, it's an iconic ad which basically said, Macs are cool, PCs are for accountants.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like this. It's like, if you're going to buy a camper van, you go and buy a VW. You don't buy the Nissan van or the Toyota camper van. Do you know what I mean? There are certain categories that are owned by brands for more than functional reasons.
Yeah. And if it's quite hard to sell on the non-sexy functional details. The battery can last 20% longer.
But also, like, how successful do you think you're going to be pushing against probably an 80% market domination by going, your phone's shit?
But they're not saying it's shit, though.
Yeah,
that's why it's kind
are.
Of paying homage, I suppose. But basically saying that, similar to what we were saying with Twitter, that they've been on their own for so long that they've stopped innovating, they've stopped developing, which is a criticism you get with new iPhones, that, oh, they've just changed the fucking charger hole and made the camera slightly better, but it's basically still the exact same phone, which is a gripe that I know kind of proper tech heads have. So I don't know. I think it's all right.
When you said you were waiting for them to get to it, get to what though? Because surely that's the whole thing.
No, because like, as soon as I see an ad like that,
yeah,
I know pretty much what it's going to be about when you're comparing two phones to each other, especially when one is an iconic sort of product and stuff. Yeah. And it's going to be right. Ultimately, it's going to be us going, oh, but you know, we're better.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but you haven't proved yourself to be better from a branding point of view. You haven't proved yourself. You haven't taken a position in my head, you know, on my radar. Yeah. There are no circumstances that I would consider a Google phone.
Wow, that's like a very strong opinion on that.
None whatsoever. There's no.
How about a Samsung?
Huh?
How about a Samsung?
None.
Yeah.
I'm Apple.
Yeah.
And that's just because
you're really committed to the tribe, aren't you?
My first Apple product that I worked on, I was 18. That's a long time ago, right? In fact, I might have even been younger than that. I think I was 17. I think I lied to get on the course. And I used like a Mac 2, which was like the groundbreaking sort of product. So I've been on Macs for a long, long time now. And I've seen almost all of the Apple adverts. I've lived through all of that Apple branding and all the rest of it. The wax and wane of that company, the Steve Jobs stuff, all the rest of it. Google comes along a bit later, occupies an entirely different space because it's search. Google will always be a search engine for me.
Yeah,
never a laptop, never a phone, tool.
It is interesting. I suppose that's the point then, because I don't mind these adverts, but it does demonstrate how worthwhile long-term brand building is. Because that's what I'm saying. That's the paradox of it, is that even if it's better, I'm not even, it's the same as you, I'm not even slightly tempted to get one. So
yeah.
I don't really have a problem with the ads themselves. I quite like them. I don't know what they could have done to make the sale.
In 30 years and ask me if I'm still using phones or if anyone's still using phones, then maybe it'll be different. But it hasn't been around long enough for it to build equity with me. So it's a...
Well, maybe this is the first...
It could be.
The first straw on the camel's back, if you don't mind me calling you a camel.
James just called back a camel. He pointed towards Matt and called
He's got a hump now.
After the first 15 seconds when I switched off, I doubt I'll remember this ad.
Mm.
Right, you might remember this conversation.
Cool. Well, thanks for those stories, James.
Oh, my pleasure.
Lots of tech stuff. Matt, what have you got for us?
Well, talking about ads. I've got an ad. I've got the latest Fiat ad. Has everyone seen it?
I've got a Fiat. Just thought I'd tell everyone.
Hey, what have you got? 500?
Yeah.
Of course you have.
What does that mean?
You scream Fiat 500
white.
Energy.
I'm not basic and I'm not white. White girls have Fiat 500s.
You're not white?
You're not white.
I don't see colour.
Sorry, guys, I am actually white.
And you're also not a hairdresser.
What colour's the interior?
Cream.
Yeah, of course it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, to match your latte.
The promo checks out.
So, have you not seen it?
I've not seen it,
have
no.
You seen it?
I haven't, no.
Right, so it broke this week. Beautifully filmed advert, like a proper old school, like TV-style advert. And it's the chief exec of Fiat.
Oh, I have seen it. Sorry, Karen.
Yeah, basically making an announcement that they're never going to make a grey car again.
Okay.
And he's really good on camera. He's typically sort of handsome, kind of, you know, 50-odd-year-old chief exec of a big company. And he's really charismatic on camera. And he walks through this beautiful port town in Italy, which is all bright colours and all the rest of it. He has a little pop at cars from Germany and Japan on his way through, past some grey cars. And then he gets in a Fiat 500, which is grey. And it gets lifted up by a crane and dunked in an enormous pot of orange paint.
That sounds good.
And he just goes like, we're the brand of colour. We're never going to make a grey car ever again. Now, I reckon that's not much of a risk to fear because they probably don't sell a lot of grey cars because they sell a lot of mobile handbags.
Yeah.
Mobile handbags.
You know, so I don't think the risk is necessarily there with them. And they don't tend to make those exec kind of mobiles, like, you know, no. 3 series and all of that kind of stuff. So I think it's a fairly safe bet for them, but I still think it's a great ad to just go, we're against all of that and we're for all of that.
Yeah, they're kind of known for their colourful cars as well, because, you know, they've got like the mint green and
mint
the pink.
Mint green Essex girly.
Yeah, that's a proper Essex girly
car. Again, you're probably too young for this. When Fiat 500 first came out, it was marketed in such a different way to the super generic, like the car industry marketing, or certainly ads, are so dull.
They are. Like, it was really dramatic.
Car adverts have actually always been like one of my bugbears, where it's just, oh, look, now there's a horse running past or something, and it would never make
through,
you want, it would never make you buy a car.
Driving through the desert.
Yeah, cities and countryside.
Generic
and,
city.
And they ruined songs I like as well.
And then, so here you go, little link back to our usual sort of tech and AI conversations. I think it's WPP have got involved with NVIDIA, who make the chipsets for a lot of kind of AI technology. And one of the things that they said they'd be able to do is, for the price of making like 12 car ads, which is usually mainly CG generated anyway, because the car's never designed in time, so they always put a new front end on it and whatever else, and then comped into some generic sort of Midwest city for the price of 12. With AI, they can now do like 10,000 executions of that ad. If they're still fucking boring, like, what's the fucking point? Whereas like one Fiat ad that just goes really clearly, this is what we're going to do. Again, it's like Apple. It's like, be super clear, super consistent on your branding. Aim to tug on people's heartstrings a little bit, and you'll get way more kind of traction than the micro bespoke, super generic, all the sharp edges taken off the ads.
But do you not think they're kind of siphoning themselves off a little bit by only targeting people that like small, colourful cars? Because that's not...
That's the only people who's buying them anyway. Yeah. So.
They've done their homework here.
That's right? Why you're not... Exactly, like, you're not kind of scaring off anyone who wants a grey Audi anyway.
Yeah, less 50% of your market there. And then out of that, you then the other 95 go, fuck yeah, Fiat. Yeah. I'm colourful. That's me.
Yeah, and they've kind of tried to, well, go for a very clear identity, which is why I think it's quite smart using this fella. Because basically it seems like what they've tried to do is really double down on their Italian-ness.
Yeah.
And obviously Italians are quite a proud people. And kind of what you said at the start is it's beautifully filmed. It's got this kind of typically Italian, quite suave-looking guy. And he almost then becomes like the sort of the embodiment of this spirit they're talking about,
I guess. He's not an actor.
No, he's the actual CEO.
Yeah. That's quite cool as well.
I wonder if it was his idea or someone who works for his. Oh, I think he should be the face of the brand.
It is made by Leo Burnett in Italy.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is this advert just in Italy then?
No. All of Europe.
I like that.
Pretty cool. If you believe that he actually got dunked in, which I hope he did, because he winds his window down and he's like still in the car and it's absolutely covered in orange paint and stuff. What a massive stunt that is.
I don't think they actually would have dunked a car in paint.
It's better if they have, because especially when you're talking about the boldness and stuff. Yeah. I hope they did, because also that's the other thing. They're actually doing something to back this up as well, because I didn't realise that grey is the most popular colour of cars
in
the UK.
Cheapest?
Which are they?
Is it the cheapest colour? My grandparents would buy the cheapest colour car and they often have grey cars. Because
okay.
They don't care what colour their car is.
Yeah.
Just see the car.
Yeah, I think it's also popular because it's just meh.
Yeah.
You can't really go wrong with it, can you?
Yeah, it can.
That's why I'm glad I have a silver car.
What did you say, James?
That's why I'm glad I have a silver car. It's not grey. It's light grey.
What colour's your car, Matt?
Black.
Do you have a car as well?
I haven't got a car.
I remember. Yeah. Well, now you can get an orange Fiat.
To be fair, it's making me think, what colour could I get? I'm like, what colour could I get?
Yeah. Oh, no, I like that, Matt. Thanks for bringing that ads.
Old school ads.
Yeah. I do like it when we bring more ads to the podcast, because I do really get bored of...
It's a podcast that should be about creativity and advertising.
To be fair, have you ever fall into those TikToks where they're like, as an ad student, you hear some ads that I love,
I find myself watching
all the old school ads.
Mm. But then if someone was to ask me, oh, what's your favourite ad of all time, I wouldn't be able to answer, because there's too many.
There's clever ones.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to discover that we all like adverts. Working in an advertising agency.
Adele, what have you got for us? Hoping it's something interesting. It's your second time here, no pressure.
It's my second time here.
It better be good.
Tapping into my European roots, apparently the Germans have now created a sausage vending machine for those people who don't live near a store, who want to have a meat feast post 10 p.m. when the stores are shut.
Okay.
They can now sell sausages with an accompanying potato salad.
I love that.
It's taken a while, hasn't it? Well, like, pizza vending machines have been out for ages.
I don't want to destroy this already, but that you've got those in Amsterdam.
I know, and you've got them in Japan as well. It's not groundbreaking, but for some reason it's taken a while to get to Germany.
But the point
what's
is
special
booming.
About this one then?
That it's booming in Germany. It's
they
really
do like
popular.
A sausage.
Well, I know that, but what's special about this machine that is coming into the news just now? Has there been some German legislation about delivery of sausage? Or
no, it's the fact that it's booming. I think it's the fact that they're really doubling down on their Germanness.
The Germanness.
Okay, yeah. So we've got... wow, the Axis powers are really at it today.
So is it just sausages, just meat? What we got in there?
Well, you've got sausages with a punnet of potato salad. You can also buy...
I'd pass on the potato salad, I think.
Yeah,
I'd take the sausage.
You'd eat the meat?
Yeah.
You'd eat the meat and not the...
Yeah, because I think there's almost a directly inverse correlation between the quality of a sausage and how much I enjoy eating it.
I like the cheap sausages.
Yeah, whereas when you get a kind of gourmet sausage that's got all this sort of shit from a butcher, sometimes it's just a bit... Eh.
Yeah. Let's get James to Germany so he can test that.
But here's a question though, what would the UK sell? Have you got a new UK vending machine? You're not putting fish and chips in there, are you?
A tin of Heinz tomato soup.
Soup and beans.
Do you know, I think one of the oldest brands in the UK is Walls. I'm pretty sure their Walls sausages are like 150 years old or something like that. So we have got a bit of our own sausage history.
Oh, yeah.
The Germans can't own sausages. They can own like cured,
yeah.
Kind of bratwursty type. Yeah.
I'll give them the sausages, I think.
What about Italy with all of their sausages?
I'll tell you what, why is it that in Germany, your best sausage is also your worst?
Oh, for God's sake, he was dying to say that.
Can we edit that out?
Absolutely awful. I think also this is just opening up the conversation, maybe in Germany, about vending machines and like accessibility and long life food. I wouldn't trust a sausage from a vending machine, but I do understand why they've done it.
But I think it's different in Germany because they come vacuum packed.
Yeah.
Because they're cured sausages. So.
Although they say other stock, so like eggs, milk, butter, and fruit are also available anytime from these vending machines.
So it's a shop in a vending machine.
Yeah. They're called butcher's vending machines. So they sell 3 or 4 types of sausage if you want a traditional hearty German feast.
Right. Team trip to Germany. Sausage sampling.
Well, Adele, why do you think this is cool? Why have you bought this story? No, again, no pressure. Just wondering.
I don't know if it's cool, I just think it's quite good fun, and I'd quite like to buy my dinner from a vending machine.
Who owns the sausage?
You can't own a shape.
But we're talking about Italy, small cars.
I would say Italy's salami, though. I wouldn't say sausage.
If you had to associate one country with a sausage, it would be Germany.
Chorizo is a sausage.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not.
It's a cured meat.
It's a cured meat in the shape of a sausage. What makes a sausage?
It's
a
salami.
Sausage cured meat, full stop. That's the point of it.
Sausage isn't cured. You have to cook it.
Yeah. Got him.
This has really taken a turn, guys. This is the sausage podcast.
So, do you think that Germany owned the sausage?
Yeah.
If you had to give it to one, of course.
And I do like a German sausage.
I like a British
sausage.
Bet you do.
Oh, yeah, I just don't really like the German sausages.
An Italian. Well, okay, thanks, Adele. I don't know, that story didn't really...
It kind of descended into a sausage off.
Sausage talk.
European sausage off.
Adele, I want you to defend your story and argue for it. Go on, tell us why it should make it into the newsletter.
Blimey.
Tell us why you want the job, Adele.
What's your 5-year plan?
Yeah. It's just different, isn't it? It's new way of eating, new way of cooking. People too lazy. Maybe it's a replacement on takeaways.
Yeah. Is it cooked in the machine? The vending machine work?
No, it's vacuum-packed sausages.
I thought, because the ones in Amsterdam, you put in the code and it gives you a hot sausage. These sausages aren't ready to eat.
No, it's just a pack of sausages and vending.
This is awful.
I told you guys it's a butcher's vending machine.
So it's a butcher's.
Show James the picture.
It's a butcher's.
That's so disappointing.
Oh, this is awful.
Wow, Adele, that's...
Adele, get out.
I'm very busy, okay?
Like, I get vending machines, like, this concept has been around for a while. You're just putting some vacuum-packed sausages where the walkers...
You can put whatever you want in a vending machine.
That's good, though, no?
But why?
Is it?
If the shop's shut and you fancy some sausages...
I've never been that desperate for sausages.
I have. Okay. Thanks for that, Adele.
Does Germany
really
not have any 24-hour supermarkets?
We'll have to do some research into that.
I reckon they've got more than they've got butcher's vending machines.
In rural areas, maybe not, though.
I think this is for rural areas, exactly. Someone's had too much beer, they can't get to the shop, so just pop down to the local vending machine. Sausage.
I'll be honest, we've gone from quite macro with the kind of Twitter stuff to pretty micro. There's some German farmer who might fancy a bratwurst.
Well, I think if you were there, James, you would love it.
I've got nothing against it. I'm just not sure it's cool shit.
Okay, well. On that note, thanks for your story, Adele, and thanks, Matt. I really liked that Fiat advert. That's me being biased because I love my car.
Fiat.
Fiat advert. Fiat advert.
Fiat.
Isn't it a Fiat?
Fiat.
Have I been saying it wrong? Fiat.
Fiat.
You're really emphasising the
Fiat. Maybe it's the accent. I don't know.
You'll have to watch the advert and find out how
he
says.
Maybe I do. James, have you decided what's going in, or are you going to give us a little clue?
I'm
going to
chew on it.
Chew on the fat from the German sausage.
Although I am also...
pack first.
I am also a fan of the... I'm not just saying this because he's our boss. I was actually going to put it in the newsletter anyway. So I'm a fan of the Fiat advert.
Yeah, I didn't know I was saying it wrong this whole time. And if people want to read the newsletter and also hear us yapping away, where can they find it?
Zachagency.com/cool-sht.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.